Again, thank you each one of you for coming. We thank you for being out here tonight for the gospel. Can we start by reading Luke 7? Luke 7, please. This is the Lord Jesus, and he's in verse 36. We'll start reading in verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet or to have food on a table. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought the alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Verse 39 says, and when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, the Lord Jesus says, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And the Lord Jesus says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered, said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48 it says, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And in verse 50 says, and he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. So tonight I have this portion before me. As I thought of this week, I was thinking of these two people. I was thinking of the woman who very clearly says that she was a sinner. And then we read of the other person who was a Pharisee, who was a self-righteous person, who lived by the law, who was, you would say, a good person here. So you have those two people and what the Lord says about them tonight. And then, first of all, we realize in verse 41, we realize that the woman is a sinner. And see, who thought he was good, he says in his heart in verse 39, he says, and when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So he didn't recognize himself as a sinner. And tonight I have 3 points I want to speak about. I want to speak about our debt. And then I want to speak about our deliverer. And then finally, our decision, and how this is going to affect our eternal destiny before God. So first, I want to speak about our debt. And when we read of this here, we see how verse 41 is where I want to break in, really. And it says there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. And one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And we think of how this man, when we think of the Pharisee, we think of this, the woman who realized she was a sinner. She would have been maybe the one that would have owed 500 pence. And she would be the one that would have owed a great amount of sin, or having sinned a lot. And then the other one, who would have had less sin, as it were, would have been the one that had 50. So how do we think of this? It's irrelevant of how much sin they both had. It's completely irrelevant how much, the degree of how much they had, because they were both debtors. They both owed the Lord. And what was the debt that they owed? Well, we read of how later on it speaks of how she was forgiven. He forgave them both. and he speaks in relation to sin. And that is the debt that they both had. Whether in degree of how much or how little, it does not matter in the eyes of God, because God is absolutely holy. So how do we see this for ourselves tonight? We can see the company here. We can see there's some that have sinned much and some that have sinned little. But God looks at us and he sees sin. And God cannot behold sin. So we read of, in Romans 3, we read of verse 23, it says, "For we have all sinned. Each one of us have sinned." It does not depending upon how much we sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard of God is his holiness. We have come short of that. So really, we're all debtors. We are all debtors. We're in the same spot. Each one of us on earth, in humanity, are found before God. In his sight, we are found to be guilty, to be debtors. We're debtors to him. And what is our debt? It is our sin. It is that we're indebted to God's justice. His sin, our sins must be punished. And you might say, well, there's this difference between how much these two have. One had lots, one had little. And we can see how nowadays we think of how in all of humanity there's always these people that think they are good. They think that they have, oh, I have less, I'm not as bad as this person. Or this is the person who is in jail. They are the bad ones. They're the ones that, they're the real sinner. I'm not as bad as they are. But really, how sinful are we? This is something that I really want to understand tonight from the Word of God. How sinful are we? And what does the Lord Jesus say of how sinful we are? He speaks very clearly, and he speaks of the heart of man. He speaks of how it's something that we're born with. By Adam, back in Genesis, of when Adam sinned, it says, "Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we have the nature of sin. We sin. It's what we do. It's because of who we are. We are sinners. Therefore, we sin. And the Lord Jesus in Mark 7, verse 20 to 23, here's how he describes our hearts. Because we think, some people think, I'm a good person. I do good things. But here's how the Lord Jesus, how he speaks of, and he's talking to the Pharisees and about the Pharisees there who think they were good. They thought that they were good in relation to others. They looked among each other and they compared themselves and said, I'm better than this person. But look, here's what the Lord Jesus says. He says in Mark 7, verse 20 to 23, and he says, "And he said that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." So he said before that, he says, that which we eat or that what we put into our bodies does not defile us because it goes past our heart. It doesn't affect our heart. But what he's saying is that which comes out of the man, so from within, that defiles the man. Verse 21, he says, "For from within, out of the heart of man," this is the Lord Jesus speaking, who knows the heart of man, he says, "proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So this is something that we have to recognize tonight. That's why it doesn't depend on how much the degree of our sin, how much we've sinned in accumulation we've sinned. It is our very core of who we are, our sinners. And that sin needs to be dealt with. That sin is going to take us. This sin is going to ultimately bring us to destruction. It's going to be against us. We're guilty before God because there's a few of these things that I've mentioned that are against God's holy law, the Ten Commandments. It says, "Thou shalt not kill." The Lord Jesus says, "In the heart, there is out of the heart comes murders." The Lord, it says in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And here it says, "Out of the heart comes adulteries." So, looking at lust with somebody, towards somebody, and then it says, "Thou shalt not steal." But it says, "Out of the heart comes thefts." We've broken those, and it says, "Thou shalt not covet." And how it says, there is covetousness that comes from within. All these are evil things. Thou shalt not lie. It says, out of the heart comes deceit. So you can see how this is what the Lord speaks of our hearts. This is not something I came up with. And I can testify as someone standing before you that this is truth. These are true things, what he's speaking of. These things come from within. And these are things that defile us. These are things that we sin before God. So we've God stands in his holiness. It's his holy standard, his holy law. And he says, this is the standard. This is my righteousness, my holiness. And we come before God with our sinfulness. And we look at his holy standard. And we see that from within, we've committed all these things. In our very hearts, we have sinned against him. And we have done these things by action. We've done these things, we've proven. And it says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, each one of us. So we can see how we are hopeless, utterly hopeless in our hearts, in ourselves, to do anything good. It says, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, deceitful and desperately wicked. And actually, Lord Jesus says, the wickedness comes from the heart. And then, who can know it, it says. Who can know our hearts? Verse 10, in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So this sin will not get passed over. Each one of our sins, God beholds it. He sees our sin and what we've done against him. So Luke 7, verse 42, you can see that they are debtors. They are debtors. Both of them are in the same boat. No matter how much sin, we've all sinned. And it's God's holiness. If we've transgressed once, that is enough to cast us forever out of God's presence. God cannot allow one sin in his presence. His justice, his holy justice, sin must be punished. It cannot come into his presence. So he has to put it away from himself. One sin. And you can see it was proven back in Genesis when Adam and Eve, when they took one, it was one disobedient act. It was one sin that separated them from God forever. Out of God's presence. They were separated from God. God could not be in the presence of sin. So we can see how from our hearts and how mankind has gone on to prove that we are sinners. So they are both debtors. They both were in the same boat. They both had sinned. It doesn't irrelevant. They both had nothing to pay. They had nothing to pay. So in verse 42 it says, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. So you might say, with this debt, they have a debt on one side, but yet mankind thinks they can pay something to God to erase this debt of sin that they have accumulated, or they've sinned against God, no matter what degree it may be, they've sinned against, or they're guilty before God. But yet mankind thinks they can earn something, can do something to appease God, according to make themselves merit their way to heaven, to pay something to pay God, so that God will allow them into his presence. They can earn heaven. But here it says they have nothing to pay, because a good work, something that we do, cannot erase one sin. Sin has to be punished. Sin has to be, God cannot allow one sin in his presence. That is something that we have to understand tonight. We have to understand this tonight, God's holiness. So, and then we read of how in Romans 3, verse 10, and when we think of paying something towards God, something good, but actually it says in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. And it speaks of how there's none good, no, not one. There's not one good thing that we can do that God would be pleased with. So we stand before God in our sins, guilty before a holy God. And he is just. He is holy. What does he require? When we think of this debt, what's the big deal, you might say, of having a debt? What's the consequences of this? What's the payment, you might say? What will be the end of this debt that we owe God? How will we pay it ourselves? Or how will we what will be the end of this? In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And then in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Behind me here, we have the two rows chart. You can see both. We can see that there's going to be a judgment, the great white throne, one day. On the far, on the right side over there, you can see how it speaks of there's a great white throne, and sin will be judged. all our debt that we've accumulated before God, our sins, they will be punished. Each one of them will be punished. And that is forever separated from a holy God. Further reading, the ultimate end of every sinner. And that is something that is very important for us to understand, that where does this sin, what is the consequences of our sin? It might not feel like it affects us right now, but we have to understand where we stand before God. Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw over there," you can see the great white throne. It's speaking about the great white throne. It speaks about hell and the lake of fire. This is what it says here. Verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It is there that their debt will be punished. They will actually pay. And that's very interesting to say that they will pay, because they will never actually pay fully their debt. It will go on forever and ever and ever. The judgment upon them, they will never pay it. It will always be, God can never be satisfied. Their sin has to be punished. That is, you might say it's very severe. Well, God cannot allow one sin in his presence. Their sin must be dealt with. And that is something that tonight is very solemn for my own heart to speak about this, because this is in God's word. This is where we have to find ourselves tonight. We're one day going to stand before God. This is the truth from the word of God. We're going to stand before God one day, each one of us, each one here in Winnipeg, each one in this country, in this world, will stand of all time before in eternity. Every man that ever lived on this earth will stand before God. It says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this will be a judgment." And that is where tonight, where you want to, what is God's heart towards us when he sees us in this state? He sees us in the state that we are in. He sees this judgment coming. He sees that he's just. He has to be just. He has to remain just. He cannot allow one sin in his presence. He knows that. Because he cannot change who he is. So therefore, what is our hope? Where is our hope tonight? When we recognize that we are sinful and we cannot help but sin. It's what we do. It's from the heart. It's from within. It defiles us continually. It's our thoughts. Everything comes from our hearts. It's wicked. And so we're guilty before God, in charge, on his law. We've broken them. We've broken. And we're going to be judged and we'll be found guilty tonight. We'll be found going to this place where our debt will be paid. It will be continued forever and ever. It will never be fully paid, but it will forever be judged there in hell and lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It is absolutely shuddering where the severity, but God knows that. And tonight, God, that is where we need to come to, that we're sinners. We've sinned against God. And that's the beauty of so now we've spoken about our debt, the debt that we owe to God, each one of us that has ever been born, have, whether how much, we might have sinned a lot or a little, it does not matter to God how much the degree is. We all have a debt that we're going to pay, and we'll pay for it forever. So what has God done? What is God's heart towards? He wants to forgive. God wants to forgive tonight. He wants to have us cleared of our charges, standing before him, his holiness met, his justice completely met. Everything, God being able to declare you righteous. Hey, all your sins are paid. How is that possible? Is there a way? Is there a possible way for us to escape this judgment that we see behind me? This judgment that we've read about in God's word that is sure to come to every man. How is it possible for us to escape this? What has God done? We can see here God, it speaks of him, he frankly forgave them both. God loves to forgive. God wants to forgive. That's God's heart tonight. And he has done something absolutely incredible for each one of us, that we might be forgiven, that we might not face this judgment. He does not want that for us. And then, so that's my next point, our deliverer. There's a deliverer. There's one that was willing to take the step into my place. In Luke 7, verse 47, he says to the woman, he says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins," he says to the Pharisee, who thought he was good, who thought he wasn't a sinner himself, and yet he was still a debtor to God. He still has sinned. But yet he thought he was good. But yet he wasn't good in God's eyes. But that was his perception. And that could be our perception. We must recognize that we are sinners. "Wherefore I say unto thee," the Lord Jesus speaks to the Pharisee, and he speaks about the woman. And he says, "Her sins, which are many," does not depend on the degree of sin, of how much, "they are forgiven, completely forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Why does she love much? Who is this person? She loves this person. She loves the Lord Jesus. And then he says in verse 48, it says to her, and he says unto her, he turns to the woman and says, "Thy sins are forgiven." And then it says, and that's the one I want to speak about, our deliverer. It says, "And then they began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Who is this man that can forgive sins? And that's our deliverer. That's the one that she loved, because her sins, he identified with her. How can he forgive her sins when God demands justice? When God demands punishment? How can her sins just be forgiven? That is an amazing part of the gospel. That is what is so incredible about the gospel tonight, what God has done for you. What God has done, the Lord Jesus, who can forgive sins, he will totally pay for her sins. He himself will. He will be responsible for her sins. He will make sure that no punishment will ever face. She will never face any punishment. She had trusted in him. "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" is what they asked. This one is God's holy son. This is the one whom God sent into this world. He sent them to save sinners. That's his whole mission, was to save sinners. God's heart wants, he wants to forgive. He wants to make this possible, that man might be declared completely, everything paid. Everything will be, there will not, no judgment will come to them. God wants that for us, but he knows that in ourselves this will never happen. So he sends his precious son. And his holy law, his charges that he has against us, his Ten Commandments, his holiness. Here's one, the Lord Jesus, who absolutely each one of them is unbroken. He never broke one of them. It speaks of him as, "In him is no sin." The Bible says this. It is written in 1 John 3, verse 5. It speaks of the Lord Jesus, of God's deliverer, the one whom he sends. In him, in the Lord Jesus, is no sin. He is absolutely pure on the inside. And then further in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, Peter speaks of him, the Peter who walked with him every day, who was for 3 years, who was walking alongside the Lord Jesus, and he would recognize and he would see that this man, he says, that's his testimony of the Lord Jesus, he says, who did no sin. There was no action of sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Remember, we spoke earlier of our hearts and how there is deceit. That's what guile is, deceit. Out of our hearts, there's this deceit, these lies, these evil things. It says here, neither was guile found in his mouth. And it's out of our mouth comes what is in our hearts. Our Lord Jesus was nothing in his heart. He was absolutely pure. There was not one sin in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, who knew no sin. Sin was completely foreign to him. To us, it's very real. It's what we do. We're so acquainted with our sin. And yet, it was foreign to him. It was something that was foreign to him. For he was God. Nor could he have sinned. Because he was God. He was God himself. As a man, he was holy. The Bible says, in Hebrews 7, verse 26, it says, of the Lord Jesus, says, who is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled. So it says, what comes out of the heart defiles the man. Our Lord Jesus was undefiled. There was not one thing that came out of his heart that would have defiled him. So his heart was completely pure. He was one that had upheld God's law. He's separate from sinners. So here's one that God required. Here's the perfect one that never sinned. We think, read in the Bible, it says, the wages of sin is death. And then, so here's what God did. What God did, he recognized our state. He saw our doom. He saw our pending doom. And he sent his precious son. He says, here's a way in which I can completely forgive and yet remain perfectly just, perfectly righteous. And I can declare the sinner, I can say to him, it is completely, there's no judgment that's ever going to fall on you for your sin. What has God done? I want to turn to Romans 3, please. Could you turn with me to Romans 3, Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3, we'll read a few verses. Romans 3, verse 23, 24, 25, and 26. And then we'll come back to the creditor, to the story of the debtors. Verse 23, Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's God's holy standard that God required. Verse 24, it says, and here's what's amazing, being justified freely by his grace through, that's what the Lord Jesus did, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, which means an atonement, a satisfaction, satisfying the heart of God through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. This is what God has done. And here's what it's, everything that God required, everything, it speaks here of redemption, of payment being made, because I need someone to pay for me. My sins, there's this debt that I owe, that we've talked about, this huge debt that is accumulated, and I'm going to pay for it. So we need someone to pay for that. And here's God's Holy One, the one who never sinned. So here's one who never needed to die. He is the one that willingly died. He has power to lay down his life. He had power to take it again, he says. So he laid down his life. He knew what it took. And he is what God required, being justified, which means declared righteous, paid in full through the redemption by his grace freely. God gives it as a free gift by his grace through the redemption. So it took redemption. It took payment. God to pay fully every sin had to be judged, paid, which I could never pay in eternity. In all of eternity, I will never pay for my sins. It will be gone forever and ever. I'll be judged for my sins and you for your sins. And here's what God has done. In three dark hours on the cross, God, on his son, he judged his son. He judged him for my sins. The Lord Jesus, my sins were laid on him, who is absolutely perfect. He is holy. There's nothing of sin in him. I'm full of sin. His sins and my sins were put upon him by God. What does the Bible say about that? It says he has made propitiation, which means he has satisfied. He has atoned for, completely satisfied God's heart in 3 hours. 3 hours on the cross. My Lord Jesus, he suffered. He suffered immensely under God's wrath. It says, what does the Bible speak? How does the Bible say of these things? It says, the Bible speaks about the payment of sin, of what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross. In other portions of Scripture, it says, for he hath made, he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we can be made absolutely righteous in Christ. Completely forgiven. Completely atoned for. My sins will never be put upon me again, because there is someone that stood in my place freely by his grace. His love for me. His love for you. Tonight God can completely forgive you, because his every payment was made fully, and God is fully satisfied. So that is, but how, and coming to my last point, How does this, the Lord Jesus on the cross, it says also of that he went into death. It speaks of him as one who, in 1 Corinthians 15, it speaks of in 3 verse 4, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So that is what the Lord Jesus, he is alive, he is here, and he's ready to forgive you. You can trust in him tonight. He is a living Savior. And that is why it's so amazing to say that how can I, what did this woman do? How does she get it forgiven? How can I get this for myself? It speaks of, because I can keep going on. I can keep going on in my sin. You could keep going on in your sin. You could keep going on in your sin and still have this debt that you were going to pay yourself. Or you could be like this woman who loved the Lord Jesus, who recognized that this man's paid for my sin. He loved me, he forgave every, you can, our deliverer, read of our debt, our deliverer, and our decision. Tonight you have a choice to make that you can walk out of here forgiven. God offers it to you tonight. And I know my time is far past, and I want to say to you, if you trust the Savior like she did, he said to her personally, he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And here it speaks in Romans 3 verse 26. It says, "To declare I say unto you at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier, to make you completely righteous of him which believeth in Jesus." Taking him for yourself, trusting in him, saying, "Yes, he's my Savior." Repenting of your sins that are taking you down to hell in the lake of fire. And turning around and trusting in him. Trusting in the one who died for you. Who died that you might be saved tonight. And then you can walk away and sing. This hymn, I love this hymn. It says, "There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The torment and the fire mine eyes shall never see. For me there is no sentence. For me death has no sting. Because the Lord who loves me shall shield me with his wing." God wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to completely forgive you. I'll leave you with this. I will leave you with this last verse. It says, John 3 verse 36. I love this verse because it gives both. It says, "He that believeth on the Son, the Lord Jesus, hath everlasting life." So you have everlasting. You are forgiven. You will not see death. You will not be punished. You will know the Lord. "And he that believeth not the Son," so if you walk away and you do not believe in the Son of God, having heard of what he has done, it says, "shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him," remains on you, ready to punish you. It'll remain on you. So I leave you with this last prayer to the Lord. I pray that God would, that you would be awakened to your need, that you'll recognize that you are a sinner, and you will be judged. But God wants to forgive, and he has done everything possible. If you trust in Christ right now, trust in your heart in him, take him for your Savior, for yourself, God will forgive you. Trust that God bless his word.